This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a unanimous decision that the NCAA could not place limits on education-related payments and other benefits that schools provide student athletes. Meanwhile, today at noon at the basketball arena, the State Farm Center at the University of Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker is expected to sign legislation that would allow student athletes to earn money if their college uses their name, image, and likeness for profit, and allow student athletes to hire an agent. The NCAA generated $1.8 billion in revenue in 2019, and the Supreme Court decision and the Illinois legislation are examples of growing pressure on the NCAA to change how it defines and handles the idea of amateurism in college athletics. Joining us now to talk about this issue are Jonathan Macer, professor at the University of Chicago Law School. Professor Macer, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also with us is Illinois State Representative Cambium Buckner. He's a Democrat representing the 26th District in Chicago. It goes from Navy Pier downtown through the South Side. He's also a former football player at the University of Illinois and a lead sponsor of the legislation Governor Pritzker is expected to sign today. Representative Buckner, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Listeners, I should mention, I believe Representative Buckner is on his way to Champaign to join the governor for the bill signing. So if you hear some moving vehicle noise in the background, that's what that's about. Listeners, we do want to invite you to join our conversation. If our lines are open, if you have a question for our guests, do you think college athletes should be compensated? To what extent? Or maybe you're one of those people that worries that paying student athletes will change forever the landscape of college sports. 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. Professor Macer, I want to begin with you. Let's start with the Supreme Court case. What was at stake? What were the arguments on each side of that case? What did the Supreme Court say in its decision?
So the case was about educational related benefits that schools wanted to pay, or that athletes were asking schools to pay them. So the athletes were arguing that the NCAA unfairly puts caps on expenses for graduate school, paid internships, things like that, that were sort of related to the educational mission, just in order to sort of suppress their wages and keep them as amateurs. And the Supreme Court found that this was an antitrust violation, that through the NCAA, all of the universities had effectively colluded to suppress the wages that are paid to student athletes, and they shouldn't be allowed to do that anymore. The reason why this case is limited to education-related benefits was that that's all that the plaintiffs, the student athletes in this case, were asking for. They weren't asking for the court to say that they should be allowed to be paid full wages, you know, their full market value. But that might be the next case that comes down the pike.
You know, and does this decision at all then deal directly with this question of name, image, and likeness, as the Illinois legislation we're going to be talking about does?
It doesn't have anything to do with that legislation about name, image, and likeness directly, but I think it has very significant sort of indirect resonances. I mean, the Supreme Court is basically saying that the NCAA and its member institutions can't suppress the amount of money that student athletes are allowed to earn without a very, very good reason to do so. And these name, image, and likeness sorts of rules probably fall into the category of things that the NCAA doesn't have a good rationale for. So even though it doesn't deal directly with it, the writing is sort of on the wall from this case.
And a lot of people are looking at Justice Brett Kavanaugh's concurring opinion, where he wrote, the NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, he wrote. But then he goes on to say, the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. So, I mean, Professor Macer, this does seem to open the door for future legal challenges, maybe even an antitrust suit against the NCAA.
Right. I think Justice Kavanaugh makes it very clear that he would strike down all NCAA limits on paying athletes and he would allow student athletes to be paid, you know, whatever amount of money the universities wanted to pay them, as much as professionals are paid in some cases. His argument is basically that the NCAA is claiming that people like watching amateur sports, like we enjoy watching sports in which people are paid artificially low wages. And he points out correctly that that's a kind of weird argument. If all of the restaurants in Chicago got together and said, you know, we hear that diners really like eating at restaurants where chefs are paid artificially low wages, so we're all going to get together and suppress the wages of chefs, the courts would think that was preposterous. They would strike that down instantly as an antitrust violation. And so Kavanaugh is suggesting that that sort of argument shouldn't fly for the NCAA either.
All right, Representative Cam Buckner, I want to bring you into the conversation. The NCAA has been, I should say, you played football for the University of Illinois, right? You sponsored this legislation that would allow student athletes to be compensated if their college uses their name, image, or likeness. But before we get into the legislation, I want to ask, when you were a student athlete, did you or your teammates feel like you should have been getting compensated more than, you know, with education scholarship?
Yeah, I think many of my teammates did, and I'll be honest and say that my thinking on this evolved over time. When I first stepped foot on campus as a freshman at the University of Illinois, I was just extremely happy to be in a situation where my school was being paid for, where I was able to gain a degree without my parents having to pay. My parents, you know, didn't have the financial means to send me to college, and so that to me was at that point enough. But the older I get and the more I spend time looking at the actual economic functions of college sports, it became very clear to me that something was not right and that there was a very unbalanced playing field. And so, you know, by the time I left Champaign, I was extremely staunchly a supporter of making sure that there was some compensation involved for the women and men who entertain throngs of college fans every year.
You know, Representative, the NCAA has been talking about this idea that it protects quote-unquote amateurism. And, you know, we hear this argument, the NCAA makes $1.8 billion in revenue, member universities give out $3.5 billion, much more than that in athletic scholarships. Why, in your view, is a scholarship and a free education, why is that not compensation enough?
Yeah, and that's a great question. Thank you for that. I think the entire economic landscape that is the NCAA has made it very clear that we have preyed on the young men and women who are revenue generators. I think it's fine to be able to...
Yep, and it sounds like we might have had a little dropout. Representative Buckner was joining us from the road. He's on his way. Oh, you're back. Okay, we lost your signal for a second there. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I think that giving students the opportunity to matriculate through a undergraduate program for free while they're student athletes, I think it's great, right? But I also don't think it's enough. We see the amount of money that flows through NCAA college sports, as you say, throughout the $1.5 billion number. We look at things like March Madness and the Bowl Championship Series and see what they bring in. But the young men and women who are the product, who are the folks who are generating revenue, are not getting a bite of this apple. We also know that the NCAA reports as a nonprofit entity, which it is not, right? And so I think we've got to start being fair and start having a real conversation about what's at issue here.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce my guests. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. You just heard there Representative Cam Buckner, who's a Democrat from Chicago and sponsor of legislation Governor Pritzker is expected to sign this afternoon in Champaign at the University of Illinois that would allow college athletes in Illinois to profit when their name, image, or likeness is used to endorse products, that sort of thing. We're also speaking with Jonathan Macer, who's a professor of law at the University of Chicago Law School. And we're taking your calls. 800-222-9455 is the number. And let's now go to line four. Jonathan is on the line from Springfield. Jonathan, thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So what I understand you think college athletes should be separated from the university?
Yeah, I think honestly a lot of our taxpayer dollars and the money we pay for tuition goes to subsidize the college athletics, and honestly it can be highly profitable for a small number of people, but I think the mission of a university shouldn't be giant domes and athletics. I think it should be to education, and the fact that a lot of our coaches are getting paid multiple times what some of our best professors are, I just think it should be separated, and we should compensate the athletes who generate such a demand.
Okay, thank you for the call, Jonathan. Representative Buckner, I wonder if you want to weigh in on that. I mean, there's a, you know, baseball does it where there's more of a minor league system, although professional football and basketball rely on the universities as their sort of minor leagues. What do you make of the argument that, that college athletics ought to be separated from colleges?
Yeah, I think it is a cogent and a prudent argument. You know, I think it's something that we should look at to figure out, you know, how we can make it all make sense. I think it is very true. I think a lot of people are troubled by the fact that the highest paid, state employee in almost every state is either the head men's football coach or the men's basketball coach at the flagship university, as the caller I think pointed out. I think that there is some credence to the argument. You know, I think the NCAA has really done a really bad job of being creative and being forward-leaning and making sure that they can deal with these issues as they come. And so because of that, I think that we may actually be forced to have more conversations about what happens if athletic programs sever themselves from universities and what happens if there is another association to compete with the NCAA that presents itself and tries to bring in some schools as member institutions.
Professor Macer, let me ask you, I don't know if you want, you can respond to that caller if you want, but I also wonder if you have any thoughts from a legal perspective on the NCAA's idea of amateurism that we were talking about, really not, you know, not paying people who are driving these massive revenues. Are there equivalents elsewhere in society? I mean, famously, Major League Baseball has a monopoly on, you know, baseball, sort of a government-granted monopoly, but what are there other analogs elsewhere?
I think there really aren't other good analogs, and that's part of what Justice Kavanaugh was getting at in his concurring opinion in this case, that there aren't other places where we allow an institution to basically say, we're going to suppress the wages of the people who are making money for us, and we're going to do it in the name of this sort of inchoate idea called amateurism, and that's going to justify our monopoly power and the way that we're using that power. I mean, Major League Baseball has a monopoly as well, but it's important to note that the workers in Major League Baseball are unionized. The players have a union, and they have collectively bargained for the salary cap in baseball and the way that the minor league system is structured and so on and so forth. Ditto for basketball. The NBA has a monopoly over professional basketball in this country, but there's a collective bargaining agreement between the players and the team governors. The NCAA is essentially a unique institution in that it possesses this monopoly and uses it to control the structure of college sports in a way that the courts have previously sanctioned, but I think probably are moving away from allowing. And I just wanted to say very quickly, I thought that the previous caller's question was a great one, and I completely agreed with what Representative Buckner had to say. The one point I'll make about this case and sort of the future of college sports is that this is going to raise the costs of being competitive for a lot of schools out there. If you can pay athletes more, that means that the price of getting the best talent is going to go up. And that might make it even more difficult for the University of Illinois of the world to compete with the Ohio States of the world and for the South Carolinas of the world to compete with the Alabamas of the world. And that might really change the structure of college sports as well. We might see some universities dropping out of the NCAA or of conferences as we know it now because it just becomes too expensive to try to play on the same field as others.
No pun intended. You're breaking the hearts of a lot of University of Illinois alumni out there listening to this. Representative Buckner, briefly, what does your, if the governor's signing your legislation today or has announced that's what he's doing, what does your legislation mean for student athletes in Illinois? How much can they be paid? How does this work?
So there will be no cap on compensation. It will be fair market value, right? Whatever the fair market dictates, these young student athletes will be able to take in. You know, one thing that I want to be clear about in this is that when we look at this, a lot of folks are looking at it from an angle of, the marquee quarterback or the star point guard on the basketball team. And I'm sure that these young folks will be, making money from what comes after this bill is signed. But I also want to talk about, the folks who may be in sports that may not be revenue generating, right? So like tennis players and golf players and golf athletes who heretofore were not able to gain money off of their name, likeness, and image. So if you are a young woman who is a University of Chicago golfer, for example, And over the summertime, you go back to your home, and you can now give golf lessons at the local country club and be paid for it. That was not legal before this bill becomes law. So I think we are really evening the playing field, giving young people an opportunity to do what everybody else on their campus can do, and that's make a fair market wage off of their own name, their own image, and their own likeness.
Let's take one more call. I think we can fit in. Tyler is on the line from Champaign. Tyler, thanks for calling in.
Hi, my question is about the student athlete payments. I'm calling to see if anyone foresees any difficulties on different opportunities between star players or players that are in star positions. I'm thinking examples of like the offensive linemen in football are kind of largely unknown, but the quarterback relies on them immensely for their own success. I'm just wondering how that's going to shake out in the locker room with opportunities. Thank
Interesting.
You.
Yeah. All right. Representative Buckner, I wonder if you have a perspective on that. Do you think there's going to be intra-team friction or jealousy because of this? The quarterback gets all the attention sort of thing?
Hey, listen, and Tyler, thank you for that question. I spent a lot of time in some very very aggressive locker rooms where that happened all the time anyway. The quarterback is always going to be in a position that certain folks aren't in. obviously there will be some difference in what a long snapper can bring in as opposed to what the quarterback or the running back maybe brings in. Once again, we are not trying to create a situation where we're dictating who gets what. We're just trying to create a situation where we open up the doors to give people the opportunity to make fair market value on their name, like the image, which, as I said before, has been prohibited for these young women and men on our campuses.
All right. Representative Cam Buckner is a Democrat from Chicago, lead sponsor of legislation. Governor Pritzker is announced he is signing this afternoon at the University of Illinois that would allow college athletes in Illinois to profit from their name, likeness, and image. We've also been speaking with Jonathan Macer, Professor John P. Wilson, Professor of Law at the University of Chicago Law School. Professor Macer, Representative Buckner, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.